comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are and wherever you happen to be all around this beautiful planet, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate it. I'm here because you have a right to know, and I'm here because you matter. This is Friday, June 22nd, and it is Weekend Eve. Well, I hope you've got a lot of great plans for the weekend. I hope you've got scheduled some time for some fun and some rest and some relaxation as well. And for a lot of folks, one of the things they do on the weekend to have some fun and to relax is read the K-Files, because Friday is K-Files night. And that means that after the show tonight, we begin to send out our weekly newsletter. It's absolutely free, and it's called The K-Files. There's no reason for you to be sitting in the dark. You could get it absolutely free. You just go over to my website and click where it says K-Files and subscribe. You'll get an automatic email, and it's got a link in it where you activate your subscription, and then you're good to go. Just make sure that you don't have one of those email addresses that says, well, you know, we don't accept email unless you verify that you're an actual human. We're trying to prevent spam and all that. Because our software is automated. It can't click that link for you, okay? So make sure you just have a regular, normal email address, or go in and pre-authorize it in your spam filter. June the 30th, we have Alternative Universe Eye Conference coming up. It is going to be blockbuster, and you want to be there. It's only $10. $10. And we bring you some of the top names in the field of, or in the genre of this show, which is the world of the strange and unexplained. We bring you some of the top names in that field, and we also bring you some that are... in each conference, we bring you some that are top quality, but just perhaps not getting the press that the top names get. So we have a mixed bag there, but it's always top quality stuff and some top names. We bring you some of the top stuff. $10. That's all it costs. If you're not a member at The Kevin Smith Show, you don't have access to our archives. Our archives are in the members' community. Hundreds and hundreds of hours, I would suspect thousands of hours, of Kevin Smith Show archives. And you get access to them when you become a member. You also get to watch this show every night. You also get your own blog page, your own friends page. You get your own photo album where you can upload photos and share them with your friends. You get forums, you get chat room, you get the chat box, you get the video galaxy, you get a library of free ebooks to download. Lots and lots and lots of stuff for the members. Now, why is it for the members? Well, we are 100% listener supported. And when you support this show, I think you ought to enjoy something a little bigger and, you know, broader vistas. So that's why you get all that stuff in the members area. If you're not a member, you can fix it, and only you can fix it. Join tonight. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I do apologize for that giant squeal you heard. The guest who is going to join us here in just a moment and I, right up till close to showtime, were trying to get him all hooked up on Skype, and I forgot to turn a switch off. It's not the normal thing that causes the squeal. Usually it's because of our normal operation, and I forget to push a button. But this time it was from something we did before the show. I apologize for that. It's fixed. You shouldn't have it anymore during the show, I hope. Over the past couple of nights, we have brought up and talked about Admiral Byrd. And Admiral Byrd is absolutely an American hero. And he's somebody that really is world-renowned. He's an American hero, but he's world-renowned as an explorer and discoverer of a lot of really cool stuff, pun intended, because a lot of it is in Antarctica. But one of the things that's absolutely clear from the last couple of nights is that there's a tremendous amount of confusion out there about Admiral Byrd. We tend to take many decades of his work and throw it in all in one basket and say, well, you know, Admiral Byrd this and Admiral Byrd that. Well, yeah, but some of that was 30 years before, and some of it was 10 years before, and some of it was 20 years after. We just get it all mixed up and confused. Well, one of the things that I think is important is to get as many of the facts as we can. The problem with getting all of the facts about Admiral Byrd and his discoveries are that there is what he wrote, and some of that has disappeared now. There is what he said, and a lot of that has disappeared now. You can't find it. In fact, when you go looking for what you know you saw on the internet last year, a lot of times you can't find it this year. So there's a lot of information about Admiral Byrd and his discoveries, and even about his death, that has mysteriously vanished from the great information highway, where people talk about the free flow of information. Well, the censoring has been going on for a while, and it has intensified, and a lot of the information is no longer available. All family members of Admiral Byrd, all descendants, are distant family members now, as you would realize, because of the passage of time. Our guest tonight is a family member, a distant family member, but a family member who has probably as close to original information as you can get. His name is Dr. Jeffrey Byrd. And he is with us online. Dr. Byrd, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Well, we are getting some broken up audio from you, but we'll try to deal with that. All right. You are a very distant relative of Admiral Byrd, and yet you have checked into what the family knows about him and his life, his discoveries, and his death, right?
Yeah. I've been exposed to quite a bit of it, actually.
All right, so let's talk about the amazing discoveries that he made in Antarctica. You and I have talked about this here on the air before, and that is this purported diary of Admiral Byrd's that talks about his encounter with these inner earth beings, and this diary, this particular diary, says it happened in the Arctic. And then last night we had James Horak on, and he talked about having read a first edition, first printing of one of Byrd's books that says it was the Antarctic, and gave a lot of details about what he found there. So let's go with what you know here. Was it the Arctic or the Antarctic?
As far as information that I've got, it was definitely the Antarctic.
Okay. So the diary then that says it was the Arctic would be a hoax. It's spurious. All right, so the information that you have, I believe you told me that you actually talked with a guy that some people may know about because he appeared on the Art Bell Show a number of times. His name is Harley Byrd, and he is a great nephew of Admiral Byrd. And he was a very successful attorney. And at one point you made contact with him, and he showed you all of this stuff about Admiral Byrd and about his expeditions to Antarctica. So tell us a little bit about Harley Byrd, and then we'll go from there. Who is he?
Yeah, actually, he's a great-grandson of...
Grandson.
Of Admiral Byrd. And he kind of followed his great-grandfather's path. He was in the Air Force, very high up, as a matter of fact, an officer. He worked at the Pentagon. He was an information officer. He had access to a lot of confidential and classified information. And I met with him back, like I mentioned, I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was around like 1992 at a conference in San Diego.
Okay.
And, I had never met this guy before. Some other people had sent me some information, said this guy was here, he had this information. I contacted him. I just happened to be going to the same conference he was giving a lecture at, and so we met up.
Okay, now, before you met him, though, you talked with your father about him, right?
Yeah, because I really didn't know this guy from Adam, and so I spoke to my father, Dr. Eldenberg, and he told me to go ahead and meet with him, but be very careful about the information that I was given from him, not to take any copies of information, just kind of take mental snapshots of it, absorb the information, and walk away from it.
All right, so let's talk about your dad and why his opinion would carry weight here on this. We don't need to get into a whole lot about your dad, because I am aware of the fact that he worked on some extremely highly classified projects. But familiarize us a little bit with Dr. Eldon Byrd and how he would know that you need not to take any copies of the documentation from Harley.
Well, basically, to summarize it in a nutshell, my father was very high up in the military. He worked a lot on things with DARPA. He also worked a lot with projects for specifically the Department of Navy through the Marine Corps. And I guess, you know, without any better way of putting it, he was kind of responsible for a lot of mind control, the electromagnetic weapons, scalar technology, things like that, having to do with the military. Before he left the government service, he was the head of the non-destructive weapons unit at the Naval Surface Weapons Center, and was working on, the only thing I can put it is, some of the weirdest science I've ever encountered.
Okay, so from that position, he said, yeah, go ahead, meet with him. You can look at what he's got, but don't accept any copies of anything.
Yeah, he was always kind of worried about information getting loose and things like that. I just took it as a warning, you know, just absorb the information, but if he offered to give any pictures or any types of documents, just to avoid that, absorb it, store it in my mind, go on.
All right, now, you are Dr. Jeffrey Bird, so let's talk about your doctorate degree. Your doctorate degree is in what?
My doctorate degree is in information technology, specifically in information warfare.
Okay.
I also have undergraduate degrees in electrical engineering and computer engineering.
Okay. All right, so now we're back to somewhere around 1992. Harley Byrd, great-grandson of Admiral Richard Byrd, is speaking at a conference that it just happens you also were going there, and you checked out with your dad to see, is it okay for you to meet with Harley Byrd and get some information? Your dad says, yeah, but don't accept any pictures or documents from him. Steer clear of that. And so then, by the way, Harley Byrd had been a very successful multimillionaire attorney until he started talking about Admiral Byrd and his expeditions. What happened?
Well, from my conversations with him, this was the first time we ever had. We talked over the phone once, met at this conference, and at that point in time, I really didn't even know that I heard some rumors in our family that we were related to Admiral Byrd, but I didn't really know that for sure. My previous wife had been into genealogy. She ran the family tree and found out that my line of the family was, that we were related to William Byrd II of Virginia, who happened to be related to Admiral Byrd. And what it turned out is that, you know, me and this Harley Byrd were like 16th cousins or something like that. It was way removed, but we were still related.
Yeah.
And well, that was kind of a neat thing. And
but what happened to him? What happened to him when he started talking about Admiral Byrd?
Well, the guy lived in California. He was a very successful attorney. He had a multi-million dollar house. His life was great. All of a sudden, he got disbarred, lost his license to practice. The IRS was all over him. He had people following him around. His wife left him. His life just turned upside down when he started talking about this.
Okay, so you went to the conference, and you met him, and what happened then?
Well, we went through a series, you know, brief backgrounds, and, you know, we kind of realized we were family, but we didn't really know each other. And, he went through his background, which I later did check out. Harley Byrd was a high-ranking officer in the Air Force at the time that Admiral Byrd was still doing his thing. He was a record keeper in the Pentagon, and I checked all this information out. It all checked out, and we sat down and talked, and he realized who I was. He had checked me out, and he decided that he was going to give me some information that he wouldn't normally give some other people. And when he was doing his little lecture, he had a series of slides that he would show everybody that he was fairly confident nobody was going to give him any grief over. But he pulled me aside and he said, "Would you like to see some really interesting stuff?" And I said, "Sure." And that's the point in time that I contacted my dad and I said, "Do you know who this is?" And he had him checked out and he came back and he said, "Yeah, you know, we're related very distantly, but, just be very careful about the information. Don't take anything from him. If he offers to give you pictures or anything, you know, if he's got any books or something like that, that's fine. You know, anything that's out in the public domain. But, he said, just let me know what you find out." And so he gave his presentation to all these people, but he had a whole carousel of slides that he said, "You know, would you like to see some really interesting stuff?" And I said, "Sure."
Okay, now before we get into that, let me ask a question about your dad's caution. Did you take it that he was saying, when he said be careful, was he saying that Harley's information is no good, or was he saying it's good stuff, be careful, don't take any copies of that with you, it could be too hot?
Basically, he was warning me it would be very dangerous if I had possession of any of this stuff.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Which led me to believe that he pretty much, you know, my father had some extremely high-level security clearances, and, you know, when he told me something when it came to this stuff, I wasn't gone.
All right. Now, we have to step away for break, and when we come back from break, I want to find out what was some of that stuff you saw. We'll be back.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Dr. Jeffrey Byrd. As we went away for break, Jeff, you were telling us about, I had asked, how did you interpret your father's warning? And it was that he was saying, don't accept anything, any documentation, pictures or papers or anything from him. Only stuff that's already in his books would be okay. Anything else could be dangerous for you. All right, so he invited you to take a look at this stuff. Where did you look at it?
We were at a conference in San Diego, California, and he had already had a lecture scheduled, and he had a lecture room, so it was abandoned, and he took me in there, and he had a briefcase, a metal briefcase that he had handcuffed to his arm, and a very long sleeve suit to kind of hide the fact that, you know, he had the handcuff on there. He brought it in and locked the doors, and we sat down. He broke out a carousel, a slide carousel, that he doesn't normally show people. And he proceeded to tell me that during his stint at the Pentagon, that since he had access to a lot of classified information, he had taken pictures of these things. And he doesn't normally show them to everybody, but since, you know, we're sort of family, and I was kind of interested in this stuff at the time, that he was going to let me see these things, and proceeded to load up the carousel and show me the slides. And I gotta tell you, I was pretty much thrown off the back of my chair when I saw some of this stuff.
What did he show you that he didn't show everybody else?
There were some pictures with his great-grandfather, Admiral Byrd, standing next to, on the right side of him, you know, as I'm looking at the projector screen, on the left side of him, you know, looking from the perspective of where he would be, there was a gray alien on the left side of him. And on the right side of him was a very tall, Nordic-looking, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy that was quite a bit taller than he was. And he proceeded to tell me that that was one of the Pentagon files that they had for one of the Antarctic missions.
Could you see in the background?
One, you know, having to do with Admiral Byrd's diary.
Could you see in the background? Did it look like they were in the Antarctic?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, the area that they were in was very tropical looking. There were trees, even some palm trees. But in the background, you could see snow-capped covered mountains. What look like mountains or mountainous range, hills. But this particular area was kind of like a tropic zone in the middle of this whole thing. And I didn't get to see any photographs of it, but I got to read some of the stuff about that there were at least two reptilian races there from Zeta Reticuli.
This is in the stuff that Harley says he got from the Pentagon, right?
Yeah, and the thing of it is, I mean, I've seen tons of UFO photographs. A lot of them are grainy, a lot of them are blurry. These things were pretty clear.
So, tell us about the UFO photographs. What did you see in those?
You know, recently you've had some guests on your show, and one of them indicated that they had been in Russia and had some sketches, and it was pretty much apparent that that particular sketch matched this particular saucer fake craft. Mm-hmm. And also, it very similar to what you showed the other night with the Earth photograph, the high-res photograph.
Yes, of the Arctic region.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it very, very similar.
Did it have any markings on it that you noticed?
No, it didn't, but it looked very similar, and what I was told from him was that there was some tie to Nazi Germany with this particular craft.
Now, the picture that you're talking about, was the craft in flight, or was it on the ground in a hangar somewhere?
Oh, no, it was pretty much sticking out with in the background, just kind of hovering.
I see.
It was obvious it was hovering above the ground.
Now, that's in the same picture where you see a gray and this tall Nordic person, both of them standing with Admiral Byrd?
Yeah, it was in the background.
Mm-hmm. And we should point out, because we do have people that have been born in an era where they cannot imagine this, but folks, this would have been, this picture would have been taken at a time when there was not even any such thing as home computers, and certainly nothing called Photoshop. This would have been taken with just a regular camera with film. And Harley showed you this and said, this is one of the pictures that they had in the Pentagon.
Yeah, he also showed me quite a bit of other pictures.
Such as?
Craft that he said some of them were ours. You know, the triangular shaped craft and other things. But, you know, he was pretty much concentrated on what the whole story around Admiral Byrd.
So when he showed you these pictures of triangular craft, that would have been from, those pictures were taken in about what time period?
They would have been in the late 50s.
So this is not something new, this triangular craft phenomena that people are reporting and getting pictures of and videos of. That's not new. That's been around since at least the 1950s.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, when I saw that, I mentioned to him that I've seen one of these hovering over my head one time.
What did he say about that?
He said they've been around for quite some time. You know, they are ours because we've had the technology and collaborated with at least one race to get that technology.
Okay, so these triangular craft in the photos that he showed you, and he showed you various craft, and he said some of these are ours, and the triangular craft are ours. Where were they? Were they in Antarctica?
There was really nothing given about that. They were just, I guess, I would consider them random pictures in the slideshow.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else in this slideshow about Antarctica that really blew you away?
I guess it would really be the gray that was in that photograph.
Did he have other photographs that were in Antarctica?
Yeah, several of them.
What did they show?
Mostly a very tropic region. You know, almost like, you know, you got snow and then everything just kind of disappears. And it's, I mean, if it, one of them showed palm trees in the background.
Okay, so did you say to him anything about, well, wait a minute, you know, there's palm trees here and this is supposed to be Antarctica?
Not really, because you know, prior to this whole thing, he gave me a copy of the diary, and I'd already read through that. And based on the account, if it's correct, and you know, I really have no way of knowing. I have no reason to doubt this guy. But based on the account that Admiral Byrd gave, you know, there's a region, at least at the South Pole, that around the polar region, it's very tropic. Green grass, palm trees, very tropical.
Did any of these pictures show any animal life? All right. Now, allegedly, on his deathbed, he made a statement. And his wife wrote it down in her handwriting, and he signed it. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, he gave me a copy of it.
When you say he, you mean Harley. Harley gave you a copy.
Hmm?
When you say he gave me a copy, you mean Harley gave you a copy. Yeah.
Yeah, Harley gave me a copy of it. He indicated that he had quite a number of these copies made that were certified notarized copies that he deposited in certain places. He was kind of a paranoid guy. And he showed it to me. It seemed a little far-fetched at first. However, I did some of my own investigation, got some other people involved in. And his story panned out as far as, you know, him. He spent 20 plus years in the Air Force as an officer. He did work at the Pentagon. There was some time overlap while his great-grandfather was doing some stuff for the government, you know, in his capacity as admiral.
So how did Harley come, how did he come into possession of this statement that Admiral Byrd dictated, his wife wrote it, and then Admiral Byrd signed it? How did Harley get it?
Well, Admiral Byrd's funeral, which was kind of a big to-do, there was a huge media blitz on the whole thing. And he was the flag bearer. He was the representative of the United States government as an officer, military officer, that presented the flag to his great-grandmother at the funeral. And this is all documented on video. I know that it's floating around in the internet ethers. I've seen a copy of it. Art Bell's seen it. Several other people have seen it. During Admiral Byrd's funeral, after he gave the flag to great-grandmother, you know, Admiral Byrd's wife, she went over to the coffin.
Okay, we have to take a break, and we'll hear the rest of that story when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening for this first hour, Dr. Jeffrey Byrd. And as we went away for break, you were telling us about the funeral of Admiral Byrd. And Jeff, you said that after Harley Byrd handed her the flag, she went over to the coffin, and then we had to take a break. What happened?
She reached into Admiral Byrd's blazer pocket. He was wearing a suit. He was all decked out for his funeral. And there was a manila envelope in it, and she reached in there, grabbed it, and handed it to Harley. And this was all captured on video. Because, you know, as you can well imagine, you know, Admiral Byrd, quite an American icon. And he didn't know what to think. The first thought he had was it was a, you know, a wad of money or something. But knowing the cameras were on him and everything else in this big media event, he just quietly slid into his blazer pocket and didn't look at it for a couple days afterwards.
and it turned out to be this statement that Admiral Byrd had made.
Yeah, it was pretty much his diary that was handwritten that he hadn't released. Interestingly enough, a few days before he died, and the official story was that Admiral Byrd died in his sleep. However, according to Harley and his great-grandmother, he had an arrangement to meet with the National Geographic Society to pretty much spill the beans about his original expedition to the Antarctic and what he found. And a couple days later, according to her and him, he was found dead in a warehouse. The official story is he died in his sleep, but they maintain that he died in a warehouse under mysterious circumstances.
Was he, were there signs of violence on his body, or what condition was he in when he was found?
That's pretty much all I know. It was under mysterious conditions in a warehouse. His widow maintained that. The official story, you know, if you go on Wikipedia or anything else that talks about Admiral Byrd, and it says he died in his sleep.
All right, so you got to see this statement, right?
Yeah, I got to see one of the notarized copies, the certified copies of the statement. He had the original, and what he said was a vault somewhere. I assumed it was like a safe deposit box. He deposited it. He had a bunch of copies made, had them certified, notarized. And I got to read this. It was about 16 pages, handwritten.
Was there anything in there that was rather revealing?
Outside the fact that he talked about, when he got into that region, his plane was taken over. He had somebody talk to him over his radio in a German accent and say, "Don't worry, everything's under control. We're guiding you in."
Does he talk about the tropical valley in that 16 pages?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very lush tropical area, trees, grass. You know, warm climate.
But this is in Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, James Horak said, and he has said this on the air before, that he calls it the Blonde Valley because this is where these tall blondes apparently live. And but he said that's restricted airspace in Antarctica. And nobody coming to or leaving the Antarctica now is allowed to fly over that airspace. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything specific having to do with a no-fly zone. But I do know, based on this account, if it's true, and I have no reason to doubt it, I would find it kind of way, way, way outside of the normal stage of things for somebody to go to this length, especially, you know, since Harley really, you know, up until the point in time that he started talking about this stuff, he had a great life. Once he started talking about this stuff, his life went to pot. I mean, it just, he had all sorts of people. His law license was revoked. He had people foreclosing on his house. The IRS was on his butt. You know, I really have no reason to disbelieve any of this stuff.
Well, there is one more thing that happened while you were meeting with Harley, that gives some credibility, you know, when he says people are following me. you witnessed something that involved people chasing him. Tell us about that.
Yeah, at this particular conference, he had set up a booth space. And, he had his normal lecture thing and question and answer thing that he had set up. But he also had a booth space where he had made copies of this diary and some other accompanying works by some other people that were involved with, basically Nazi UFO phenomena and stuff like that. And, when I was talking with him at the booth one time, he had this little toy cell phone sitting down on his table. I mean, it was obviously a toy. You know, one of the things you see in the grocery store's blister pack. And of course, he was pretty much financially devastated once he started talking about this stuff. And he said, you know, he just kept that around to, in case any of the powers that be came looking for him, you know, he'd pick up that phone and would kind of ward them off. There was one particular incident. He was scheduled for 3 days at that particular conference in San Diego. And as I was talking to him, he pointed out, he said, look over there. He said, there's 4 guys and they're coming this way. They're after me. And I looked, and there were 4 guys dressed up in pretty prominent pinstripe suits. And as they approached, I could see they had the little curly Q earpieces and all that stuff. He picked up his cell phone. He picked up his cell phone when he saw a couple of these people, and they kind of like turned and went the opposite direction. This particular time, and this was like during the second day of the conference, and it was like maybe 3-4 in the afternoon, and these 4 guys started walking that direction. He picked up the cell phone, or the little toy cell phone. It didn't do anything. Next thing he said, I've got to get out of here. He picked up all of his stuff on the booth, threw it in his little bag, walked out the rear entrance, the side entrance of the door. And as soon as he started toward the door, these 4 guys, all dressed up to the hilt in 3-piece suits, started running across the floor. He disappeared out the side door. These guys followed him, and that's the last I ever saw of him.
When he first told you that those guys are after me, you thought he was just a little paranoid, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I mentioned that to him. I said, aren't you a little paranoid about this? And he said, no.
And then you saw what happened. They kept coming toward him. He grabs his stuff, goes out the side door, and they go chasing after him.
Yeah, and I asked him before, I said, you know, are these people government people, or are they worried about, you know, these pictures you've taken of some possibly classified pictures or documents? And he said, no, they're not associated with the government at all. That's the problem.
But he never told you who they were associated with.
No.
All right. We have to take a break. I want to thank you for being with us for this first hour. Dr. Jeffrey Bird. Very interesting stuff. We will be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you are here. I am so sad you missed the first hour, and you will be too when you find out what you missed. We had a distant relative of Admiral Richard Byrd talking about what he knows and what he has seen from other family members about the Antarctic expeditions of Admiral Byrd. Very, very interesting, compelling stuff. And especially that photograph he talked about. Sorry you missed it. My sympathy to you, and I hope you don't have to miss any more of first hours of the Kevin Smith Show. When you do, you miss several universes of information. In this second hour, I'm going to talk with you about another great mystery, and that is the Bosnian pyramids. We have had on this show a number of times Dr. Semir Osmanagic. He is the one who discovered that these are pyramids. And some of the archaeology experts, without doing any archaeology there, without doing any kind of science stuff there, and some of them without even going there, have said, those aren't pyramids. Other archaeology experts, like from Egypt, have come and looked and said, yes, these are man-made and these are pyramids. Now, they're not the same construction that you have in Egypt. They're not made out of the same kind of, you know, gigantic blocks of granite, because they're made out of what's available there. But they are pyramids. And it has been discovered there is a great tunnel system all under that area as well, and that's being excavated. But in 2010, scientists who went to the site discovered that there is an ultrasonic frequency beam being emitted from the top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. And it's just going straight out through the top of the pyramid and out towards space. Interestingly, the power of that frequency grows stronger the further up you go. Now, you would think that, you know, if this beam is originating in the pyramid, which they've been able to determine it's coming from in there somewhere, you would think that the further it goes, the less power it would have. But it grows in power the further it goes. Well, they have made recordings of this frequency. And let's see, their research was in April of 2010. Let me see if I can come up with some names here. The Croatian researchers, led by Slobodan Mizrak, were the first. And then later, Dr. Harry Oldfield, a British independent researcher, detected the electromagnetic fields above the Pyramid of the Sun. They have been able to record them. Well, it's at a frequency that's so high that you and I cannot hear it. There is a guy who took that and stepped it down so that it's within our hearing. And when he did that, he discovered that there are patterns in it that it sounds like human speech. And so what he's done is he's a professional musician. His name is Mike Tate, and I've been in touch with Mike Tate. At the moment, he's in Warsaw, Poland, and I invited him to be with us here on the show But he sent me a very nice email explaining that he is very much involved with right now going to various embassies, getting things worked out so that his daughter can attend university in another country. Plus, his wife is coming over to the United States to tend to a sick relative. And so he said, I'm just going from embassy to embassy. I'm so tied up right now, I just can't do it. But I'm very, very glad that my work is going to get some international attention. So we did invite Mike Tate to be with us, and I wish he could be. I wish I could present him to you and we could talk to him and ask him questions, but it's just not possible for him right now, and I understand that. These things happen. But I am going to share with you the recording. Now, what he's done is he's taken it and stepped it down so that it's in the range of human hearing. And then he kept working with it, getting it down to where it's not just within our hearing, but becomes somewhat intelligible. Now, what you're going to hear is that recording. And you are going to say, that's not intelligible at all. I want you to hear it, but I want to tell you that you're going to say, that's not intelligible at all. Well, he has posted the transcript of what's being said. And if and I have posted the link where you can go download this sound file. Okay, that link is in, if you go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right under that picture it says show info. And if you click that, then a little information blurb opens up, and there's a link there. Click the link. It takes you to his webpage where you can download this audio file. And when you do, here's what I recommend. I recommend that you keep this web page open so that you can read. You have to scroll down so that you get to the transcript of what's being said. It's in English. It's 3 to 5 men talking. And I'm going to read the transcript, and then I'm going to play the file. But what I recommend is that you have that transcript open. Play this audio file through headphones so that you can hear clearly as possible. Some of the voices are away from the microphone. Some are close to the microphone. And you want to be able to hear what's being said in the background as well as up close to the microphone. Very mysterious. Here is the transcript. There are two names that he says he was able to pick up. Honestly, I was not able to pick those names up. But, and he says, he says, look, I could be wrong about all of this. You listen to it and see what you think. But he says one of the names is Gene and one is Chuck. And they seem to be, all the voices, they seem to be talking about working on some kind of machinery or electronics or something. And Gene says, you're good. Chuck, it worked. Gene, yep, Chuck, thank you, hey. And then he's talking to someone else in the background. And Gene says, we're good. Chuck, hey, yo. First background voice, oh. Chuck, hey. Second background voice, did it work? And then there's a pause. Then Chuck, hey, Gene. Gene, what's up? Chuck, I need your opinion. Gene, what's the scoop? Chuck, Area 2, X-208. Gene, you do? Chuck, yeah. Gene, okay. And then footsteps can be heard. I didn't hear the footsteps. Then there's a pause. Chuck, that did it right. They did it right. Gene, then don't go. Chuck, no great white zero, and then laughs. Gene, oh, Chuck, yeah. Gene, you going to work at it? Chuck, yeah. Multiple laughs. Pause. Chuck, look here. Look. First background voice. Look at what? Third background voice. Look at what? Chuck, see this? There it is. Gene, what happened? Chuck, maybe, look at that. They're out. Second background voice, or Gene, what happened? First background voice, Chuck. Then the transmission ends. I don't know what any of that means. I'm going to let you listen and see what you think. I hope you can hear this. Okay, I told you you wouldn't be able to make much out of that. But I will tell you this. It does sound like voices. And if you listen to that with headphones, and if you do that with the transcript open in front of you and just read along as you're listening, you will hear, you will recognize some of the words. They are some of those words and phrases you'll recognize. You'll hear it, you know, some of them in the background, some of them in the foreground. The foreground voices sound like frogs croaking to me. And it's difficult for me to make out what they're saying, but possibly because they're too close to a microphone. But you can hear it. It sounds like human voices talking. This is the signal that's coming out of that pyramid, but it's coming out at a frequency so high that you and I can't hear it. And it takes some processing to bring it down in a range where we can hear it, and we heard it. But it's very, very difficult to make anything out of that unless you listen with headphones. The purpose of headphones in clearing this up for you is that it puts the sound right up next to your ears. Plus, the headphones cut out some of the ambient noise around you. And you can hear, as far as I'm concerned, intelligible phrases. I don't know if I was listening to that, I don't know that I would pick it out. But if I have the transcript in front of me where I see what they're supposed to be saying, I hear it. And I hear it clearly. And then after that, I can hear it clearly without the transcript. So, I don't know. Very, very strange. Very, very odd. But this energy, this beam of energy with that audio is being transmitted out of the pyramid of the sun at a frequency way too high for you to hear, and actually way too high for any radios here on Earth to pick up. And you know, you can't just tune to it and say, oh, well, that's what it is. The frequency is way, way, way too high. And it's mysterious that it's there. It's also mysterious that it's constant. This beam of energy is coming out constantly. We just got to hear the part that got recorded. Some of the scientists recorded a portion of that frequency, and Mike Tate stepped it down into human hearing range, and that's what we hear. That's coming out of that pyramid of the sun. That's odd. It's also odd that this beam of frequency is going straight up into space and gains strength as it goes. That's not the normal way things happen. Now think about your radio stations around where you live. Radio stations have a range. And in fact, they have a license that says they can transmit a signal strong enough to hit a certain area. It's like an umbrella of signal. Now, when you get out to the edge of that umbrella, get in your car and drive, you get out to the edge of that umbrella, what happens? The radio station starts breaking up and fading out, and finally, you can't hear it at all because the signal is losing strength with distance. This signal is gaining strength with distance. So that defies what we normally think of, defies the physics of what we normally think of with a transmission, with a signal of any frequency. We expect that it's going to lose, not gain, power as distance increases. So this is very, very, very anomalous. I don't know exactly what those voices are saying, but I do know those sound like voices to me. Let's listen again. Okay, that's enough of it. You know, it's very, very odd. It's very, very strange. It's mysterious. But whatever that is coming out of that pyramid in Bosnia. We're going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to join the conversation. I'd like to know, what do you make of this? This is fantastic. It's a mystery beyond description right now. Well, not beyond description, but it's beyond explanation right now, and who can tell what it is? But what do you think it is? Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Jerry in Phoenix.
Hello, Jerry.
Oh, just listening to the show. Great show tonight, by the way.
Thank you.
Kathy was listening to this, and she said, well, how do they know it's coming from the pyramid and not being sent to it?
I'm going to try and explain. That's a very good question. I'm going to try and explain what is explained about that in their article. There is a buildup of energy that they can measure inside the pyramid, and then a burst of energy. There's a constant stream coming out, but there's a buildup of energy inside the pyramid, and then on a regular basis, this energy bursts out in the stream, and you have an increased power in the stream leaving the top of the pyramid. So they with instruments can trace the origin is the energy inside the pyramid, and then it goes out through the top.
Okay.
But
do they have more of a recording than this, or is this the only snippet that they've made public?
It's the only snippet that's been made public.
You know, because the question that comes to mind, of course, is, you know, if it's building up and then transmitting, is this a loop or what? You know, it's very strange.
It is very strange. I know that you do a whole lot of stuff with audio and video. And I know you've got great equipment and great software. I would encourage you to download that that audio and see what you can do with it. In fact, Mike Tate encourages people to do that and see if they can come up with, you know, something clearer.
Yeah, it's a really good idea, and it had occurred to me to do that. What I would like to do is get a hold of the original file. It sounds to me like it's slightly out of phase.
It probably would be if they're stepping it down to where we can hear it.
Sure. Yeah, because it would be like crazy out of phase, all the harmonics and everything involved. Who knows? There might be a carrier wave with this that has to be bled off in order to actually understand it. But having the original file would certainly go a long way towards being able to analyze it further for ourselves.
Well, there's a very interesting thing about that. And the interesting thing about it is that the original files stepped down where you could just hear something were on the internet. And in fact, if you click that link on the guest info, it's going to take you to this page with the article by Mike Tate. And it has a link to the original file, which is no longer there.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're in touch with Mike Tate, maybe he still has it, and he could provide it to us.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And I will provide you with his email address so you can get in touch with him and work that out between you and him. It'll be a lot quicker that way.
And now on another subject, information about Harley Bird. Harley Bird was a friend of mine. I was at the same conference in San Diego.
You were?
Yeah, I was there. Had conversations with him. Actually met up with him at several different conferences. There was one here in Phoenix he was at. I forget the other locations, but they were basically around the Southwest, between here and California. I think there was another one in Los Angeles. But he and I spent some time together and had a lot of really interesting conversations. Some of the things that your guest was talking about tonight.
Okay, we have to take a break. Just hang on. We'll come right back to you, Jerry. Folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
But nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone lines are open at 623-444-5889. If you're outside of Canada, outside of the USA, you can call that number, or you can use an additional feature we have on the website called a flash message. Just get over to the website, scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and when you do, what you need to do is look right above the picture, and you will see a link that says flash message. And click that, and you can use that. If you're in the USA or Canada, use the telephone. All right, back to the telephone. Jerry in Arizona, you knew Harley Bird, and you were at that same conference that Dr. Bird was talking about. And you said that you had talked with Harley a number of times about all this stuff, and then we had to go to break.
Yeah, that's right. I was one of the speakers. I think the one in San Diego was Tim Beckley's conference.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, I mean, you get around and talk to a lot of the people at these conferences, and Harley Bird was a real oddball, really. He was an older gentleman and a different kind of person, and no one really knew whether to take him seriously or not. There were some people saying he was a fraud, other people saying that he was the real deal. I spent time talking to him because I wanted to find out what it was, you know, what the story was. And I remember seeing very clearly the handcuffed thing to his satchel, and asking him about that, and he says, "Well, so then no one can steal it." And the stories he told me, the things he showed me, the things I read, and like your guest, he showed me a couple of things that I thought were pretty outstanding, and. You know, what can you say? I mean, it was bewildering because at that point, it seemed to me that he was indeed telling the truth and that he had something extraordinary to share with people, but people just weren't paying attention.
Well, that does happen very, very often in all alternative information fields. Jerry, the first publication to go public with the fact that there was a face on Mars was the National Enquirer. And nobody took that seriously. Everybody said, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Well, then it turns out, yes, there is. There is a face on Mars. And but that happens a lot with alternative information. I remember seeing that on the cover of National Enquirer, and I thought, yeah, right, because it was the National Enquirer. But with Harley, we heard Jeff Bird say he checked out his background, and he was indeed a high-ranking Air Force officer. He was indeed in the Pentagon. He was indeed given a very high security clearance and had access to this information. And just because it seems fantastic to us doesn't mean it's not true.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I know them better than most, considering some of the fantastic things I come up with and share with folks. So I was not in a position to pass any judgment on this fellow. I found him to be a really nice guy and very hospitable, warm, and friendly, but he was eccentric. He was very, you know, skittish because he was always looking around. There were people following him, he said. There were always people watching him. And I didn't know the depth of the story at the time that I heard tonight. If I had known that, I would have probably understood things even better. But it was a real privilege to have had a chance to meet him and spend some time with him on those few occasions.
Outstanding. So what do you think? Did Admiral Byrd find the tropical valley there in Antarctica, and did he have a meeting with these tall people?
Well, I'm inclined to believe it, you know, just because it doesn't fit the paradigm of what we think is likely or possible doesn't discount the fact that someone who was a national hero and had extraordinary credentials said this is what happened, very much like Professor Filipov.
You are right. You are right. All right, Jerry, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. It's always very enlightening.
All right. Nice talking to you, Kevin. Good night.
Good night. 623-444-5889, and we would love to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Is it okay if I speak about Harley Bird?
Sure.
Okay. I wondered, I just heard Jerry, and I wondered if he's seen him later on after this San Diego conference, implying that no harm came to him.
I don't know, but I will tell you, after that, he was on the Art Bell show several times. And
well, then obviously there was no harm at, you know, at that occasion.
Right.
All the Admiral Byrd things seem to come from the South Pole.
Yeah.
The evening you were showing was on the North Pole. Is there anything in his diary about the North Pole?
There is a diary out there that has been online. I guess it's still out there. And it's a diary that talks about this being at the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was saying, is I don't know if that diary is a hoax or not. You know, and I don't know if it's real. But according to Jeff, that's not the one from Admiral Byrd. He has seen a certified copy of the one that Byrd wrote. It's handwritten.
Jerry Wills mentioned Timothy Beckley.
Yes.
And I recall him having a diary of Admiral Byrd's on his website. I wonder if this is, you know, the so-called secret one, or are you familiar with any of this?
No, but since Harley was speaking at Tim Beckley's conference in San Diego, it's likely that he gave Tim a copy, a certified copy of that diary, which he, you know, Dr. Jeff Byrd said here tonight that Harley gave him a certified copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
At that conference. So, and he had copies, just regular copies of it. Not all, I mean, he had some certified copies, and he gave Dr. Byrd a certified copy. But he had just some copies of it that he was selling or distributing or something there at the conference. So probably the one that Tim Beckley has is the one he presented at that conference.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why Jeff Byrd's father warned him not to take in his possession any documents.
I know things about Jeff Byrd. I know things about his father, Dr. Eldon Byrd, that I'm not at liberty to talk about. I will tell you that both of these gentlemen are, especially Dr. Eldon Byrd, he was extremely highly placed, and was working on things that we have begun to hear about. He was at the front end of, and was at the top of, the program that developed remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Brought Uri Geller in to that program. In fact, if you go to Google and you type in Dr. Eldon Byrd and then click on Google Images,
mm-hmm.
you will find one or two pictures of Dr. Eldon Byrd. All the rest of the images you will find in that search, almost all the rest of them, will be Uri Geller images.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe sometime in the future we'll, you know, you'll be able to disclose more about this.
I won't. If Jeff Byrd decides to, he can. But I won't, because I don't know. I mean, as far as I know, I don't know anything that's classified.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Eldon Byrd and some previous work done by Dr. Jeff Byrd is classified stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't talked to me about anything that's classified so far as I know. But I don't know how far I can go and how far I shouldn't go. I'll leave that up to Dr. Byrd.
Well, that's what I meant. Maybe someday in the future, you know, that you'll be able to do this.
Well, I'll say again, I won't. But if Dr. Byrd decides to, then
yes,
certainly.
Yes, that's what I meant, that yeah. if he opened it up, then you'd be able to discuss it with him.
Sure.
Yeah. As far as the signal from the pyramid,
yeah,
I think, you know, if we were sending a signal up to the rover up on Mars, it would be encoded. It wouldn't be in language.
Yeah.
And you'd think that you'd be able to do a mathematical survey of this in theory, you know, mathematical theory, and figure out something. I wonder if you could do something mathematically here to decode this signal.
I don't think so, because it's not telemetry.
No, it's not. It's voice. It's actually, it seems like it's stepped-down voice.
Yeah.
You know, the really interesting thing is that it's stronger out of, above the pyramid than it is under the pyramid.
Yeah, well, and the further it goes up above the pyramid out into space, it gains strength the higher it goes.
Boy, that seems almost like wrong, you know what I mean?
It does. It's backward. Yeah, it's backward to our understanding of how that works.
Uh-huh. Well, Kevin, thank you for taking my call, and hopefully we'll get more people calling.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, callers, get your fingers ready. 623-444-5889. Great mysteries discussed here tonight, and some pretty cool revelations as well. I mean, you know, when Dr. Byrd told about seeing that picture of Admiral Byrd in the Antarctic, in a tropical region in the Antarctic, standing with a gray alien and a very tall Nordic-looking individual, you know, and that's information from inside the family. So that's pretty earth-shaking. But also, what about this mystery of this pyramid? You know, it's a mystery to me. I said, you remember when we first started talking about the Bosnian pyramids several years ago, before I ever had Samir Osmanagic on the show. That's the guy that discovered them. Before I ever did that, I did a show where I talked about experts, supposed experts, declaring that that's not a pyramid, when at that point they hadn't even been there. The head of the European Archaeological Society declared that that's not a pyramid. And at the point when he first declared it, he hadn't even been there. He did go to Visoko. That's where the pyramid's located. He did not climb up there on the pyramid, did no archaeological work, and just declared that's not a pyramid. Well, some archaeology has been done, and we now know that that is a pyramid. There's no question about that. It is a pyramid, and it's transmitting. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about two big mysteries from right here on planet Earth. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
I'd like to talk about the ultrasound beam coming out from the pyramid from a couple of different angles, if I may.
Yeah.
The first thing, I've read some, I've done some research on this Bosnian pyramid. It's intrigued me for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that the pyramid is sitting on some conjunctions of some ley lines, you know, some of the Earth energy. Converges right there on that pyramid,
mm-hmm.
and that may be one of the reasons why it was built where it was built, and they may use the energy, you know, this almost limitless source of energy to begin the transmission of the ultrasound messages, whatever they are, that are moving up from the pyramids, mm-hmm. and that might explain why the transmission doesn't get weaker as it gains altitude or distance from the pyramid, but it actually gets stronger, perhaps because, number one, it uses that limitless source of energy, and number two, as it ascends, there's less resistance as the atmosphere gets thinner. So, that may make it seem to get stronger in its transmission. That would be my first point with that.
That sounds logical. Let me ask a question, though.
I'm sorry?
I said that sounds logical, but let me ask a question to go with it.
Okay.
Why is it in English?
Well, now that's interesting, too. You know, I don't know why it would be in English. I don't know, unless, I was going to say maybe we've got something top secret going on down in that crazy thing, or maybe what we're hearing is an echo of a transmission that occurred maybe in another time that is still looping from its original source.
Hmm.
I can't imagine why it would be in English. But here's another thing about that stimulates my imagination. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad had an old-time radio that was housed in a wooden cabinet. You know, you're probably old enough like me, Kevin, that you remember some of those old-time radios.
Yeah.
And you could get several different bands. You know, it was a receiver of all kinds of things, and especially late at night, if the cloud cover was just right, you could pick up transmissions from aircraft, transmissions from foreign countries. You could hear languages that were European, languages that were, Latin, maybe coming from Radio Free Cuba or someplace, and just all over the place. And these transmissions were so mysterious to me, you know, and just really they touched a part of my mind that just made my imagination soar. And it made me wish that I had the right kind of receiver that I could pick up some of this stuff more clearly. And as I listened to this soundbite, it gives me that same sense. If only we had a receiver that could pick up that transmission more clearly. And I'm thinking not just in the sense of a mechanical type receiver, you know, something that we would deploy, a piece of technology, but ourselves as a source of technology, or we as a receiver, if we could expand our own capacity to receive a wider array or a wider band of vibration, a wider band of transmission, that we would be able to pick up not only what's coming from that pyramid, but I just have a feeling there are a lot of things being pushed onto the consciousness of people from sources that are beneath our range of immediate and conscious perception, but yet those things are influencing us. And it just makes me, it sets before me the goal of doing just that. You know, there's got to be a way to do that.
And well, I hope I never do. And let me tell you why. Every radio frequency on Earth, every radio broadcast that's happening on Earth right now, and every television broadcast is running through your body. And if you get where you can hear those, you'll go crazy.
Well, certainly we wouldn't want to pick up all of them at once. We would want to be able to pick and choose, you know.
Yeah, I think in order to do that, you're going to have to have a mechanical device, a technological device, to select a frequency. I think you'd have to, because if you get where you can hear radio frequency, you will be hearing all of that at once from all over the world, plus the Earth itself is sending out radio signals.
Well, you know, our cats and our dogs, who have incredible hearing ranges, are able to tune out and tune in certain things. You know, they are more finely tuned receivers of sound and sight and so on, and they're able to tune out things. You know,
especially cats.
I have to think, Kevin, that we would be able to do so as well. But anyway, it certainly opens up a lot of interesting possibilities, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I don't really know what this signal is. I mean, I just played for you what's available. And when I read the transcript and listen to that signal through headphones, I can hear those words, most of them. But, you know, but I don't know what it is. You know, who are these people? Well, what are they? Where are they transmitting from? And who are they talking
but
to?
It's definitely linguistic. Definitely linguistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well,
big
Kevin,
mystery.
Thank you for taking my call. And this is a superb program tonight. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye. All right. We have just run out of time. We don't really have time to take another call. But I want to thank you, everybody who did call. And I want to thank Dr. Jeff Bird for being willing to come on and sort of give us from inside the family view of Admiral Bird, and how he came, how Dr. Jeff Bird came to know the things he knows. It's been very interesting, very compelling information. A lot of the things that are real, we get programmed to think they're not real. They try to convince us that we can't even trust our own eyes, that you can't really know anything, but you can. A lot of the mysteries that we talk about, we don't yet know the answers to. But you can if you keep on investigating the information. All right, it's time for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.